Today is November 18th, 2021, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Carol Van Dam in Washington. U.S. President Biden hosts the leaders of Mexico and Canada at the White House.
It's the culmination of 10 months of work to revitalize North America as a platform that is both critical to our domestic economic success.
Polish authorities create an exclusion zone along its border with Belarus as thousands of migrants try to enter the country.
We need to find a way to de-escalate, to make sure that the focus is really to stop the suffering.
And the U.S. government warns American airline pilots of gunfire as fighting heats up in Ethiopia. We'll have these stories and more next. In what's being called the Three Amigos Summit, U.S. President Joe Biden is welcoming Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau and Mexican President Andres Manuel López Obrador to the White House, reviving a regular gathering that former U.S. President Donald Trump had skipped. VOA's White House Bureau Chief Patsy Whitaker-Squara reports.
Thursday's summit will be the first trilateral meeting in 5 years between U.S., Canadian, and Mexican leaders. Chris Meagher, White House Deputy Press Secretary, speaking aboard Air Force One.
It's the culmination of 10 months of work to revitalize North America as a platform that is both critical to our domestic economic success, as well as a partnership that can play a critical role in resolving regional and global challenges.
The White House said the focus will be on climate change, a regional vision for migration, economic competitiveness and equitable growth, and collaboration on ending the COVID-19 pandemic. The summit comes shortly after Washington began easing an 18-month travel ban to allow fully vaccinated visitors from Canada and Mexico. Jason Markzak is the senior director of the Atlantic Council's Adrian Arsht Latin America Center.
Both Canada and Mexico have seen the implications of what was initially a uncoordinated response to the COVID pandemic with regard to border closures, with regard to what was qualified as essential industries. And so being able to map out a plan for North America insofar as what does health security look like, as well as what does how the economies can work together insofar as maximizing the opportunities of regional supply chains.
While the overall tone in relations has improved following tumultuous years under Trump, ties have been strained since the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement, a free trade pact signed in 2020. Business groups and lawmakers have raised concerns about actions by Mexico that they say threaten American agricultural exports and energy investments. Meanwhile, Mexico and Canada are unhappy about Biden's proposed incentives for union-made electric cars, such as the ones produced by a General Motors factory he visited on Wednesday.
Boosting the manufacturing of clean vehicles with new loans and new tax credits, creating new purchase incentives for consumers to buy American-made, union-made clean vehicles, like the electric Hummer.
Biden and López Obrador are at odds over the U.S.-led economic blockade against Cuba and the flood of migrants at the U.S. southern border. In addition, the Canadian energy sector was disappointed when Biden canceled the Keystone pipeline, ending a decade-long fight. Ryan Berg is senior fellow in the Americas program at the Center for Strategic and International Studies.
There's the issue of Keystone XL, of course, which the Biden administration canceled early on. In its time, there's the issue of supply chains, which cropped up during the pandemic, of course. The fact that the U.S. stopped sending PPE, for example, Canada for a period of time in favor of keeping it in the United States.
Biden has met with López Obrador and with Trudeau virtually since he came to office, but it will be the first time the three meet in person. Patsy Whitaker-Squara, VOA News.
Poland is dealing with a migrant crisis as thousands try to enter its territory from Belarus. Polish authorities have created an exclusion zone and do not allow volunteers to assist migrants who manage to reach EU soil, a move human rights organizations are labeling as cruel. Jamie Detmer narrates this report by correspondent Ricardo Marquina from the Polish town Mikołowa near the border with Belarus.
Poland is dealing with a huge migrant crisis as thousands try to enter its territory from Belarus. Polish authorities have created an exclusion zone and do not allow volunteers to assist migrants who manage to reach EU soil, a closure that human rights organizations are labelling as cruel. Jamie Detmer narrates this report by correspondent Ricardo Marquina from the Polish town of Mikołowa near the borders with Belarus. This is the closest point that journalists can get to the Polish border with Belarus. Polish authorities have established an exclusion zone, preventing the media and activists offering aid from accessing the area where thousands of migrants from countries including Iraq and Syria are arriving. Mikołowa and other towns near the border have organised humanitarian aid centres to assist the few migrants who've been able to cross the fence. Local authorities say that the police deployment to the border has significantly reduced the flow of immigrants from Belarus to Poland. Konrad Sikora, the town's mayor, says the central government's response has been overwhelming.
Well, the situation is changing every day. Now, because of the presence of such big military forces, you know, numbers of soldiers and border guards, it's kind of easier. We are doing what we can do. We provide help for border guards because every day there's somebody crossing the border anyway.
But activists are also critical of the government's response because it does not allow them to access people who desperately need help. That situation has prompted pleas from aid workers like Putus Poor of Poland's Great Orchestra of Christmas charity.
We need humanitarian help more close to border, yeah? And we all time sent a message to government and open public information. We need help inside.
Thousands of people are gathering in the border forests in freezing temperatures. Polish activists say that immigrants who managed to cross are being returned to Belarus by Polish border guards, as happened to a large Kurdish family. Joanna Aisha Iwinska is among the independent activists who've come here hoping to help.
About Kurdish family, there are five children and they were without food through 9 days on Belarus side. Every night they were pushed back. They were pushed back to Poland and again the same night pushed back to the Belarus.
As human rights observers see it, the exchange of accusations between Warsaw and Minsk must stop if this humanitarian crisis, among the most severe in Europe's recent history, is to end anytime soon.
We need to find a way to de-escalate, to make sure that the focus is really to stop the suffering.
The political and, above all, humanitarian crisis drags on. It is impossible for aid groups to reach and help those who are suffering, and for the world media to tell their story. For Ricardo Marquina in Mikołowa, Poland, Jamie Detmer, VOA News.
The U.S. government has warned civilian airline pilots of possible weapons fire as war looms near the Ethiopian capital, Addis Ababa. AB correspondent Karen Chamas has more.
The United States has warned passengers that flights to and from one of Africa's busiest airports could be in danger. Pilots were warned that planes operating at Bole Airport could be struck by weapon fire from fighting near Ethiopia's capital. The advisory by the Federal Aviation Administration says the threat comes from ongoing clashes between Ethiopian forces and fighters from the northern Tigray region. Whilst the FAA admit there has been no disruption so far, they believe the risk to approaching and departing planes could increase if the Tigray fighters encircle the capital. Thousands have died in the fighting in the past year in Ethiopia. I'm Karen Chamas.
The U.S. House of Representatives has voted to censure and remove Arizona Republican Paul Gosar from his committee assignments after he posted a violent cartoon depicting himself killing a Democratic member of Congress. I asked VOA's Capitol Hill correspondent Catherine Gibson what the photoshopped anime showed.
Republican Representative Paul Gosar sent out a meme of a anime cartoon that was edited to show himself and Democratic Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. He is basically showing himself to be killing her in the place of the anime cartoon character and saying that he is in a battle with her over the fight over immigration in this country. Now, he has said that that was just intended to metaphorically represent that battle. But if you look at that anime cartoon, he is indeed physically harming and threatening the Democratic representative.
He was also shown in this cartoon attacking President Biden, right?
That's right. So not only a Democratic representative and his colleague in the U.S. House of Representatives, but also the President of the United States. So he has said that that was not meant to be interpreted literally, but he also has not apologized for it and did not apologize for it on the House floor when he was being censured on Wednesday.
So what action was taken against him by the House Democrats who rule the House of Representatives?
Right. So Democrats are in control of the U.S. House of Representatives, which means they can strip him of his committee assignments. Those are the assignments where you serve on committees and hold hearings and have some say in how policy is developed. And of course, he also has been censured. So that basically means that his colleagues are saying that he did something very unprofessional or wrong, and that he should be recognized as somebody who is not abiding by the standards of the U.S. House of Representatives.
You mentioned that he did not apologize, and I read or heard somewhere today, too, that he even reposted the cartoon. Is that correct?
That is correct. So just hours after he was censured by the U.S. House of Representatives, he reposted that anime meme online and then posted another meme of himself wearing gold chains and sitting on a big chair and said, you know, hashtag Gosar life, kind of just reinforcing that he's not going to back down. He's not going to apologize for this. And ultimately that he's proud that he did it.
There were a few a few Republicans who voted in favor of the censure. Can you tell us about those Republicans?
Sure. They, in a sense, are the expected Republicans who would come out against one of their Republican colleagues, Liz Cheney, Adam Kinzinger. And listeners may remember that these people have been very vocal against former President Donald Trump and some of his policies and actions. They've expressed concern about the direction that the Republican Party is headed in. And they said that this, frankly, is not the way that Republicans should be acting in the U.S. House of Representatives. It's just not a proper way of responding in a policy debate or reacting to your colleagues.
So it doesn't sound like things are getting any smoother or more friendly between the Republicans and the Democrats in the House of Representatives.
No, and I think it's important to place this into context in the kind of year we've had up on Capitol Hill, where, as you remember, began with January 6th when supporters of former President Trump stormed into the Capitol, and many Democratic representatives have been quite vocal in the past few months about how threatened they felt by that and how they still feel unsafe in the U.S. Capitol. There's definitely a changed atmosphere since the beginning of this year.
That was VOA congressional correspondent Katherine Gibson. She was speaking with me from Washington on Thursday. You're listening to VOA News.
Coming up on the next Press Conference USA, host Carol Castiel talks with Cuba expert Professor Lillian Guerra from the University of Florida to discuss the latest crackdown by Havana against attempts by Cuban intellectuals, artists, and ordinary citizens calling for greater economic and political freedom. That's Press Conference USA this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is meeting with Nigeria's President Muhammad Buhari and other top Nigerian officials Thursday. They will discuss security, cooperation on global health, and revitalizing democracy, among other things, according to the U.S. State Department. Timothy Obiezu has this report from Abuja, Nigeria.
Political analyst and co-founder of Youth Hub Africa, Rotimi Olawale, describes Blinken's visit as timely, especially as many African nations, including Nigeria, have failed to meet targets set by the World Health Organization for vaccinating the public.
It's an opportunity to strengthen ties with Nigeria as the world continues to open. Africa has been lagging behind in being able to access the vaccine, and I hope that that will be top of the agenda, as well as issues on security and support to ensure that the shrinking civil space, not only in Nigeria but across the region, is also addressed.
Nigeria is battling a range of security threats, including the Boko Haram insurgency, intercommunal clashes, and more recently, a wave of mass abductions at schools. The West African country has also been named among countries with shrinking civil space, worsened by issues of police brutality that triggered mass protests last year and crackdowns on free speech and the media. While in Abuja, Blinken is expected to talk about U.S.-Africa policy, emphasizing the value of democracy. This year alone, the continent has witnessed four successful military coups, threatening decades of progress toward democracy, says Olawale.
There's also democratic challenges across West Africa, actually also across the continent. Where in the last couple of months, we have seen a number of coups in Chad, in Guinea, in Sudan, and in several other countries where there's been a challenge to democracy. It's important as Nigeria plays a stabilization role across West Africa and across the continent that this is also top of the agenda.
President Joe Biden took office in January, aiming to bolster ties with Africa, shaken by his predecessor, Donald Trump. Shortly after his inauguration, Biden signed an executive order lifting travel bans imposed by Trump on Muslim countries, including Nigeria, a move that was widely praised. Still, Nigerian security analyst Senator Irebu says major improvements in Africa policy under the Biden administration have been slow.
Yes, there was an initial attempt at the beginning of the Biden administration to show that the U.S.-Africa relation will be different. A lot of people, policymakers in Africa, are yet to understand the trajectory the Biden administration is taking when it comes to U.S.-Africa policy. A lot of it is shrouded in secrecy.
These experts hope the Biden administration's plans regarding Africa become much clearer by the time Blinken ends his visit. Timothy Obiezu for VOA News, Abuja, Nigeria.
VOA's International Edition continues. I'm Carol Van Dam. Air pollution remains extremely high in India's capital, New Delhi, a day after authorities closed schools indefinitely and shut down some coal power stations to reduce smog, which has covered the city for most of the month. On Thursday, New Delhi's air quality was listed as very poor. The annual winter spike in air pollution has soared to nearly 15 times the level deemed safe for airborne particles on several days this month. The Indian capital is one of the most polluted cities in the world. Forecasters are warning the pollution is likely to get worse over the coming days. Years after Facebook came under scrutiny for contributing to ethnic and religious violence in Myanmar, the social media platform still has problems detecting and moderating hate speech and misinformation in the Southeast Asian country. That's according to the Associated Press, which viewed internal Facebook documents. In 2018, United Nations human rights experts investigating attacks against Myanmar's Muslim Rohingya minority said Facebook played a part in spreading hate speech. Information in the documents indicate that Facebook has made more of an effort to combat hate speech, but AP reports various tools and strategies that were discussed never fully materialized. In the U.S. Midwestern city of Kenosha, Wisconsin, the murder trial of Kyle Rittenhouse has moved into its third day of jury deliberations. A request to rewatch video in the case prompted a fresh attempt by Rittenhouse's attorney to get a mistrial. The judge did not immediately rule on the request. The defense team asserted that it received an inferior copy of a potentially critical video from prosecutors. Prosecutors showed the jury a drone video during closing arguments to try to undermine Rittenhouse's self-defense claim and to portray him as someone who instigated the bloodshed in Kenosha during the Black Lives Matter protests in 2020. Rittenhouse shot and killed two men and injured another. The U.S. Conference of Roman Catholic Bishops has approved a document on receiving communion while avoiding a direct rebuff to President Joe Biden in a vote of 222-8. AP correspondent Mike Gracia reports.
Meeting in Baltimore, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops approved the first major statement on communion in 15 years, defending the unborn, but stopping short of sanctioning a ban on communion for politicians such as President Joe Biden, who support abortion rights. Bishop Michael Burbridge.
It's never the intention to target any individuals or group of individuals.
The document was approved on a 222-8 vote, with Bishop Joseph Strickland among the dissenters.
From the people that I hear from, and I'm sure that it's for most of us, the scandal factor is quite significant.
Biden has said at a recent private meeting in Rome, Pope Francis told him to continue receiving communion. I'm Mike Gracia.
Australian public health experts are making new efforts to curb the use of tobacco products, comparing its adverse effects on health to that of asbestos and lead paint. From Sydney, Phil Mercer has more.
Australia has led the world on tobacco control, with plain packaging laws introduced in 2012, higher taxes, and graphic public health warnings.
Smoking causes mouth cancer. If it didn't, I wouldn't be needing radiotherapy and chemotherapy.
But campaigners say those steps aren't enough to stop people smoking. Public health experts want to remove cigarettes from supermarket and convenience store shelves. 14% of Australians smoke, according to the government's latest figures. In 1977, 37% of Australians smoked. In an article published Monday in the Medical Journal of Australia, researchers said tobacco use was declining too slowly. Coral Gartner is the director of the National Health and Medical Research Council's Centre of Research Excellence on Achieving the Tobacco Endgame, a government body. She says the availability of tobacco in stores and supermarkets needs to be further restricted.
You know, it's been a very slow road that we've travelled to get to this point. We're at the point now where we think, you know, it's time to start thinking about how long is it really suitable to be just selling this product in a general retail environment. We're not talking about making it an illicit product or banning smoking as such.
Researchers have said that studies in Australia, England, Canada and Hong Kong have shown that half of all adults want tobacco sales to be phased out. In April, the New Zealand government proposed several new measures that would sharply reduce the number of tobacco retail outlets. Government health experts have said that smoking was the leading cause of preventable diseases and death in Australia. The government said it would continue to explore a range of new evidence-based measures to further cut tobacco consumption. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
This is VOA News.
This is Science in a Minute.
While there is no cure, scientists say type 2 diabetes can go into remission. Researchers from University College London and Aston University found that proper food intake and significant weight loss may help type 2 diabetics achieve this goal. The researchers found meal replacement and low-carbohydrate diets helped more achieve remission. They added that those using either diet who lost the most weight and were able to keep the weight off were likely to remain in remission. The researchers say they also found that there is not just one definition of remission. Many health professionals consider patients who reach non-diabetic glucose levels without the aid of any medication as being in remission. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
This has been International Edition on The Voice of America. On behalf of Nadia Taha and the entire production team, thanks so much for listening. For pictures, stories, videos, and more, follow VOA News on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I'm Carol Van Dam in Washington.
Russia's recent destruction of a Soviet-era satellite, along with its military buildup near the border with Ukraine, to its support of Belarus, have brought concerns that Russia is engaging in destabilizing activities. Coming up on Encounter, Carol Castiel will talk with two experts about these and other Russian efforts and what can be done to curtail them. That's Encounter, this Saturday and Sunday.